The Pat Kenny Show on News Talk
with Matter Private Network. During current restrictions, don't ignore your health concerns. Our expert team is ready to help.
Vaccine hesitancy, conspiracy theories and battling the Delta variant. To get a clearer COVID picture of Europe, I'm joined by Spain correspondent for The Independent, Graeme Keighley, Paris correspondent for The Irish Times, Lara Marlowe, and to get an update on the situation in Germany, we'll be joined by Thomas Sparrow in a little while. First of all, Graeme, good morning.
Good morning.
A couple of things. First of all, I was reading that Spain's constitutional court has decided that last year's strict lockdown was unconstitutional. What impact does that have?
Well, it's already had one impact. This ruling means that all the fines that were handed out during the first lockdown basically do not apply because the law was not correctly applied. So yesterday, the first fine that was applied during that period was annulled. Now, this may have a quite important financial impact on the government because the fines totaled 1.1 million euros during that first three-month period. So it's going to be a financial hit for the government.
Yeah, but in the context of everything else, probably a fairly trifling one. But going forward, what does it mean if the government decided with a runaway variant that they needed to close down? Could they?
Well, they would have to apply what is a stricter measure called the state of exception. This is a measure that was really designed to cope with coups or serious public disturbances. It's a measure which will only last for 30 days and then may be able to renew it. There has to be pretty serious grounds for doing that. And it's really quite untried as yet. So just going back to the state of emergency probably will not be adequate. So the government's in a bit of a quandary over this.
Now, I've been also looking at the vaccination rates in Spain. Now, it is a country of many regions, but they're all doing pretty well. And I'm wondering to what extent that has meant that holidays just can continue with some abandon.
Yes and no. You're right. The vaccination rate is now the third fastest in the world at 51.3% of the population have had both jabs. However, unfortunately, the cases rates, the 2-week case rates, have shot up since June. Now they stand at 622 per 100,000. More importantly, younger people are in a much worse position. These are people aged 20 to 29, and the rate for them is well over 1,000 on average, and in some areas it's well over 3,000. The reason is, of course, that, as I say, most of these people have not had the jab. Spain is organising a very age-related staggered process of vaccination. So therefore, the older you are, then you get the jab first. The younger you are, you have to wait. Of course, British people or Irish people coming to Spain on holiday who have had the jab, they may come in contact with people, younger people, and that's where the risk may lie.
All right, but you can have an indoor meal, I presume, in most parts of Spain?
You can, but the restrictions are getting tighter on things like that in terms of the limited number. In some areas, they limit the number of people who are allowed inside restaurants and bars and also the number of people who are allowed at your table. In most cases, of course, if you're going with your family, that probably does not make a difference because unless you have a very large family, you're not going to want more than six people, say, at a table. Yeah. So the restrictions are getting tighter. That's what I'd say.
All right. Well, look, Graeme, thank you very much for that. Graeme Keighley, Spain correspondent for The Independent. Lara Marlowe, Paris correspondent for The Irish Times, is joining us. Lara, good morning.
Good morning, Pat.
Now, you've got the Pass Sanitaire organised, and its use is something that caused a bit of controversy in Ireland. You know, you can get in if you're vaccinated, you can't if you don't, that kind of thing. How is that going down in France?
Well, it's caused controversy here too. There was demonstrations across France on Saturday. About 114,000 people demonstrated across the country. And many of them are far right, the sort of people who follow Marine Le Pen. So there's that dispute. Now, the pass sanitaire, the health pass, takes effect today. So from today, you've got to show this piece of paper or the app on your iPhone to go into any place of entertainment or culture that holds more than 50 people. But the government is sending very mixed messages. You know, on the one hand, they're imposing this pass, and they're extending its use from the 1st of August. And at the same time, they've said, well, actually, it won't apply to shopping centers. And they've also said, well, you don't have to wear your mask in theaters or museums or cinemas after all, whereas previously the rule was you should. They've also said that the prefects can impose the wearing of a mask out of doors, which has been lifted since June, in the areas where the virus is spreading very, very fast. And the fact is, I mean, they've said officially the last 2 days, we are in the fourth wave in France. In the last 24 hours, there were 18,000 new cases. Now, that's a lot less than mid-April when there were more than 80,000 new cases per day, but it's a 150% increase compared to the previous week. It's three times what it was a week ago. So on the one hand, the authorities are lightening up, and on the other hand, they're very worried about this fourth wave and sending very mixed signals.
Now, the question was, how would all of this play for Macron when he decided that if you weren't vaccinated, you couldn't access those venues we talked about, museums and so on? It seems that he got certainly a panicked reaction from some who immediately signed up for vaccination. But was there a backlash, mm-hmm. and how will it play politically in the run-up to the election?
The polls show that about two-thirds of the French agree with Macron's policies on this. The big debate now is not so much the pass sanitaire as whether vaccinations should be made compulsory for everyone. Macron has said the only way we can get out of this pandemic is to vaccinate all French people. I think the health experts say you need 80 or 90% of the population vaccinated. By the end of July, France will have vaccinated 40 million people, which is obviously isn't enough. So the government is really concentrating on speeding that up. And the most grumbling is about this idea of, you know, I don't want to be forced to do it. But the fact is that there are already 11 vaccinations which are required by law in France. And the left in particular, the socialists, curiously, are the ones who are most clamoring for compulsory vaccination.
So already there is compulsory vaccination. So the principle of the thing has
Compulsory. Sorry, Pat. It's compulsory for healthcare personnel. As of September 15th, they'll lose their jobs if they're not vaccinated by September 15th. But it's not compulsory for everyone. But the government is pushing people to get vaccinated. There has been a huge rush for people to get vaccinated. Macron made a big speech on the 12th of July, and the response to that has been very favorable. It's this rush towards the vaccination centers. So people listened to him and were convinced by his arguments.
In terms of vaccine hesitancy, people who don't feel they should be denied certain freedoms if they're not vaccinated, how much of that is just the principal thing of the French, you know, that they should be free to do as they wish, which might include vaccination but might not? And how much of it is due to, you know, conspiracy theories, online fake news and all of that?
Well, there's a lot of both of those elements in it, a lot of misinformation and also just the sort of bullshit French character. But you have to remember, too, there have been a lot of health scandals in France. There was the contaminated blood. People got AIDS from blood transfusion. There was a growth hormone scandal where people died because they were given growth hormones that were contaminated with Creutzfeldt-Jakob's disease. There were also very serious after effects from a hepatitis B vaccination. So a lot of people are reluctant because they remember these past health scandals. Now, France is working on its own vaccine, Sanofi Pasteur. You can say, well, they're a bit late about it, aren't they? And what happened was that two scientists at Pasteur were competing with each other and basically sabotaged each other's research, which is absolutely scandalous. But that's what happened. And some people are saying, we will hold out for the French vaccine. They don't trust Pfizer or AstraZeneca or whatever. And there is also a little bit of patriotism involved here.
Lara, thank you very much for joining us. Lara Marlow, Paris correspondent for the Irish Times. We're joined now by German correspondent Thomas Sparrow. Thomas, good morning.
Good morning, Pat. Nice to talk to you.
To what extent, Thomas, has the Delta variant fight been overshadowed by the flooding and the cleanup?
It's been absolutely overshadowed by the flooding and the cleanup. That's everything that people are talking about now is not only those devastating floods, but also the extent of the damage, the reconstruction efforts. I am now in central Berlin, in the Federal Press Center, and just in a few minutes, for example, the finance minister will be presenting the government's aid package. So people are only talking now about those floods and the impact that they will have in Germany in the coming months, also looking towards that very important federal election in September. But there is one link, Pat, to the coronavirus pandemic, because there are concerns that as people in the affected regions have to go, for example, to temporary housing, or as they are in contact with emergency services more and more, that could actually impact the numbers, the coronavirus numbers in the region, and push them up. So there are concerns there about that. But I would say those are secondary concerns. The most immediate concerns now are obviously related to helping those most in need in the most affected areas.
Since we last spoke, Thomas, I've been looking at more footage from the floods, and I'm wondering how shaken German people are by what appears to be the fragility of so many systems, dams, town centres and so on, bridges, that they would have assumed could withstand the worst that nature could throw at them.
Germans are absolutely shocked about what has happened in the country, in the western part of the country in particular. Not only because of the loss of life, but also because of the loss of infrastructure and all the problems related to that. Authorities have stressed on various occasions that they will only be able to evaluate, to determine the exact extent of the damage once the water continues to subside. And that will only happen in a few days. Only then will they be able to know more exactly what exactly needs to be repaired. And we're talking here about roads, about bridges, about railways, about railway stations, about anything that you can imagine. It's not only about private property, it's also about the key infrastructure that communicates villages and cities. And yes, there are questions. There have been questions about how fragile they were, especially in some of the most rural areas. But I think in general now, the efforts are placed on how to rebuild these affected areas, how long that will take. Authorities have said that it could take months, if not years, and how much money is being put into that, yeah, both from a regional perspective and from a federal perspective as well.
And then finally, in terms of COVID and restrictions on German people, I believe there's been a reclassifying of two very popular holiday destinations for Germans, the Netherlands and Greece, and even an area around the Danish capital, Copenhagen.
Well, and that has to do with the situation in those countries, the coronavirus situation. The Robert Koch Institute, and that's the public health institute here in Germany, is constantly looking at the specific situation in those countries that are obviously, as you mentioned, Pat, very important among German tourists. And when the numbers go up, then they're reclassified in the lists that the Robert Koch Institute has. And once they are reclassified, then travelers have specific requirements. For example, a quarantine requirement of 5 days or 10 days or 14 days, depending on what exactly the region or the country is. And this essentially means that when Germans who love to travel are planning their holidays now, they specifically have to look at those lists on the Robert Koch Institute to determine exactly what they will have to do once they come back from those affected regions. And you mentioned already some of the countries that have been reclassified on those lists.
Thomas Sparrow in Germany, thank you very much for joining us.